Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Hard Hits. This is the Hard Hits Network. It is a live Sunday evening to Monday morning, an abbreviated edition of Pushing Buttons Live. I'm your host, Derek Felix. And how is everybody out there? It is a Sunday evening until Monday morning in New York City, 12:40 exactly right now. For an abbreviated edition here, I am your host, Derek Flux Felix, out in the Staten Island portion of New York City, the Forgotten Borough. It is a fall evening, as a lot of sports going on here as we complete this first week of October. It really is the best time of year, especially when you think about what's going on with the Major League Baseball playoffs, with the Yankees and Red Sox, and the ALDS, best three out of five. It's now best two out of three, with the team splitting the first two. And you've got the football. It is week five. That's finishing up. There's one more game tomorrow night, a Monday night football game. Not much excitement going on if you're a Giants fan, like me. They lose again. They're 1-4. Lose in excruciating fashion on a 63-yard field goal in a game they probably should have won. And again, there were some bad calls, but it is what it is. They're 1-4. And the Jets actually are 2-3. They got a win today at home against the Broncos. It was a really good game. It's a really good game for them, especially on the ground, not just the quarterback. So that was good. And the NFC East really sucks. We could talk about that. The Eagles losing to the Vikings by 2 points, and they're 2-3 at the defending champs. And the Redskins right now are in first place with two wins. I think they're 2-2, I think. Anyway, yeah. So I think they play tomorrow against the Saints. Well, whatever, or they're 2-1. I can't remember what the hell they are. I mean, it was already teams that have bye weeks. And you have hockey, which started up, and already it might be a long season for the New York Rangers. They lose again. They're 0-3 for the first time in 20 years when they really sucked back in 1998-99. And they lose in bad fashion to the Hurricanes 8-5. And there is a lot of stuff going on, but it is Pushing Buttons. I'm your host, Derek Felix. So what button should I push tonight to start the show? Well, the price is wrong when it comes to David Wright. I mean, did I say David Wright? I'm sorry. The price is wrong, bitch, when it comes to David Price. Excuse me. David Price cost the Red Sox a lot of money. David Price was paid $217 million to be able to pitch not just during the regular season and win his 16-17 games and have over a 3 ERA, but to also be able to pitch in October, something that David Price has been unable to do. I mean, if you go and look at his resume, you look at his days with Tampa, especially with Toronto when they rented him, I mean, really, he was terrible for the Blue Jays, or the Blue Jay PGs, and he continues to struggle with the Red Sox. Game one was a frustrating one if you're a Yankee fan, a huge Yankee fan, and, you know, being able to play the Red Sox for the first time in 14 years, it's pretty cool. It's cool to actually be able to play them again. I wish that it could be an ALCS, but that's not the way it's set up. It is a Division Series format, but that doesn't mean the games in the series can't be compelling. And Game 1, for a long time, looked like it was going to be a laugher in favor of the Red Sox because Chris Sale, 65% Chris Sale, was shutting down the Yankees. But he did get his pitch count up, and in the sixth inning, Yankees got a couple of runners on, and Sale left the game. And then Alex Cora came out, and Alex Cora has, like, no bullpen, and the Yankees started to make it interesting. They made it very interesting, and they cut it to 5-4 on an Aaron Judge opposite field home run. They would just fall short and lose. And Giancarlo Stanton took 3 pitches in that game. It was against Kimbrel, and they lost a tough game. J-Hap did not have it in that game. Gave up 3 runs, and he was out of there pretty quickly. I think he was left before the third inning was complete. You just knew they had to get the next game. All right, look. It was frustrating. There was a lot of frustrating things going on in that game. Get the next game. If you get the next game, we should be fine. They got the next game, and that was, they had the matchup that they wanted. They had Tanaka against David Price, who they've owned, and especially Gary Sanchez. We're going to get to that. With Gary Sanchez totally redeeming himself. My frustration with the first game, and it wasn't so much about, look, you know, it is what it is. You know, sometimes you're going to have bad games, but they did get it within a run, and they were close. They went back close. So, to getting it back. So, my frustration was, well, what the hell is the point? What is the point in batting Gary Sanchez 8th in the lineup? I mean, I know Sanchez not had a good year. He hit under 200 and so forth, but I just didn't get it. It didn't make sense to hit him 8th. Well, last night against Price, bumped up to 5th. He's hitting 5th. And boy, oh boy, did it pay off. It paid off big time. First Judge, who's been nothing but special so far in this October, between the pitch that he destroyed against Oakland, against the awful Liam Hendricks, and he crossed the 2-1 pitch, and then the opposite field home run and reaching base, and then the home run that he hit to set the tone in game 2. He's just doing it all, reaching base on an infield hit because he could run. And then you have Sanchez. And we know Sanchez has been a disaster this year. He was, for the most part, 2 DL stints. But you know what? They stuck with him, and Harbin said, no, he's our starter. We think he gives us the best chance to win. And Sanchez is right, he can hit the way he can. Why wouldn't you go with him? And he kills David Price, and lo and behold, crushes one to give them a 2-run lead or a 3-run lead. And then there was the big moment where he came up with a couple of runners on base after they overturned the call, which could have made it bases loaded. I actually think he was out. I think Kinsler actually did have his foot on the back, but it's very tough to reverse a call like that. It was a very close play. And Sanchez just absolutely crushed one against Eduardo Rodriguez. Just absolutely destroyed a pitch that I don't think has landed on Yawkey Street, on Yawkey Way. And 479 feet is what it was measured at, and it was just pulverized. And the Yankees win the game 6-2 to knock the 5 innings. Patances goes 2 innings. He did give up a run, but this is a great recipe. Tanaka pitching the shutout innings. He gave up 1 home run to Bogarts. All right, so he did give up a home run to Bogarts. That was hit pretty good. Well, but Betances pitched very well, and the bullpen did its job, and Chapman shut him down. And that's the way the Yankees are going to do this. And right now they're tied. Their game 3 is later Monday night on Columbus Day, and Luis Severino game three starting right now. It's a big opportunity here. They got the next two at the stadium. I think this is going to go five games. I'm hoping I'm wrong. Hoping that the Yankees will come up big and they'll win game three and they'll finish it off. But these two teams, you just never know. I just think it's going to go five. So we'll see what happens with that. All right, I want to bring in my co-host. He is calling in from Vegas. So a little bit of laid back and snappy time over there, 949 or whatever. And who knows what's going on with temperature over there. But let's bring him in. The one and only JPG John Gene Oreo. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How's your oos?
I'm good. I'm good, you know. It's always good to wrap up a sports weekend and talk about the bad times and the good times of what's going on in New York sports scene right now. So
you're talking a little Rangers hockey, I take it?
I mentioned it. You know, the whole thing with them is they are a rebuilding team, and already you have fans that are losing their mind because, well, a backup goalie gave up seven goals, and he's a young guy. And, well, gee, if it was Lundqvist, he gave up seven goals a few times last year. I mean, if it was Lundqvist, what would they say? What would they say? I mean, come on. They played lousy. They played a lousy game tonight, and they fell apart, and they imploded in the third period. And, well, I don't think it would have mattered who the goalie was. It was very bad. Especially, it was
that
bad.
That doesn't sound good.
No, it wasn't good. But you know what? After Carolina tied it, I kind of knew where the game was going. I was like, all right. And I was watching the Canes pass around the puck for the goalie. Gorgiev made a save. I was like, I know this is going to be a goal. Point shot, and they're third overall pick, this Russian, is going to be a big scorer. Svechnikov gets his first NHL goal. That was pretty cool. The first ever, JPG, made history. Andrei Svechnikov is the first ever player born in 2000 to score an NHL goal. So there you go. Little bit of history right there. And yeah, you want to make it feel old. There you go. Now even you feel old.
No joke.
Yeah, and that turns into a game winner. Then there was another goal, and then there was the new coach, David Quinn, no-nonsense guy. What does he do? He did something that the former coach used to never do. He takes a timeout with the team down 7-5, still 9 minutes left, and he was late into them. He was beat red, and you know what? That's the way it has to be. They are in a rebuild. They're going to make mistakes, but they fell apart. They reverted to what they were last year. After they played a good game at Buffalo, a game they lost, but a game that they probably deserved a better fate. But they fell apart. It was pretty bad, and it was ugly. I don't know, man. I don't know who's worse right now. I've been trying to decide. Who's worse between the New York Giants and the New York Rangers?
It's a tough one to answer, my friend.
Right now it is. You know, the Rangers are worse than the Giants, though. The Giants actually have players that can make plays, and they were very competitive against the Panthers, who almost choked, almost pulled a – well, they almost collapsed, not choked. I don't want to say choked. I'm trying to get away from that. But I listened to the game on the radio. That's when the Giants made their comeback. They made their charge. And, you know, Beckham, you know, playing quarterback, making a throw on a trick play. I didn't realize the Giants
throw of the year,
that.
It sounded like.
That was a pretty good throw. A little flea flicker, man. That was pretty interesting. Barkley across to Beckham, and Beckham winding up and making a throw across the field. I didn't realize the Giants' offense could do that. I thought we were uncreative. And Barkley, by the way, Saquon Barkley, who continues to get looked at, well, the Giants are 1-4. What has Saquon Barkley done? Well, I'll tell you what Saquon Barkley has done. Five consecutive weeks, despite how bad the Giants are, 100 yards 100 total yards from the line of scrimmage with the Giants offensive line, and he's still breaking runs. He's still running. He's still having breaking runs without much blocking, like the 30-yard gash that he had or that he had in the second half when they had no blocking. So he has a special talent, and he caught a ball from Eli for a touchdown. So he can catch the ball too. The runner, man. He can catch it too. He did get a little banged up there. He tripped, but he was okay. And that's good. That's a good thing. So,
nice.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not saying that everything is perfect. And everybody will always say, well, they should have taken Sam Darnold. They could have taken another quarterback. Or they could have traded the pick down, and they could have held the Jets up and maybe got an offensive lineman. But not with our general manager. So our new general manager, he didn't want to do that. He wanted to sign free agents and revamp the line that way. And so far, well, it is still only 5 games. And hopefully the offensive line will get better. I actually saw Eli make some throws. I was watching the highlights. He made some throws that were over 10 yards, JPG. It was shocking.
Wow.
Including the touchdown pass to Beckham was a very nice throw. Yeah, so it's not all negative. I knew this team
just
was going to struggle. And you know what the funny part is? If the Redskins lose their game to New Orleans, the whole division has 2 wins or less. So
jeez.
The Giants, as bad as they are right in the middle of a playoff race, JPG. Can you believe that?
It's gonna be a barn burner to the end.
Oh yeah. I think the Eagles should have enough to win the division. I know that they're not winning games right now, but I would love to see the Giants go into Philadelphia when they're supposed to get killed, and they never beat Philadelphia. Go in and spoil the party for Carson Wentz, the greatest quarterback of all time. It's like retirement.
I don't think anyone's actually saying that.
Oh, I think retirement Rob believes it.
That Carson Wentz is the greatest quarterback of all time? I've never heard him say anything remotely similar to this.
Robert Davis thinks that Carson Wentz is the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, Derek.
Oh, yes. I know it. And you know it. So, baseball. Chowda Pawa versus the Yankees. The evil empire. Roar. Who really is the
evil
empire enough? Yeah, so evil that we have the 6th highest payroll and the Red Sox spent like $250 million. Yeah. So
the fact that
second.
The Red Sox are still pretending that they're underdogs is just such typical Boston bullshit.
You know what my favorite part of the game was last night? After Sanchez hit that just rocket that it admired it like Betty Ramirez used to, it was nice to hear the Red Sox fans resort to their own to the usual chant, the only chant they could think of. Yankees suck. Yankees suck. You're down 6-1. Yeah, right. Say it a little louder, you drunken chowderheads. Let's go. Roar. You know what? Chowderheads who can't control their alcohol will probably wound up puking all over the parking lot after that game. The same
sounds
way
about
that,
right,
nope,
for the chowdas.
The same way the liberals are right now.
Well, they're
disaster.
They're in a bad place.
Yes, every woman tells the truth. Oh man, you know what? Brian David is right. For now on, I'm just gonna use that link. I'm gonna keep that link up in my Safari, and I'm just gonna link it up. I have something for you, and then the link will come up. November 8th, 2016. A day
they
that will
like live. They feel like if they deny that it happened, it'll go away. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit crazy. But then again, don't we like chaos? Like a little bit of chaos, anyway.
You love chaos, so.
Oh, God. I just saw a tweet from Madison Miller. Oh, God.
What'd she say?
It's like, she said something she just said it of.
About what?
About the Yankee series. She just can't help herself. Madison said
she jinxed the Yankees.
Yes. Nothing would mean more to me than wrapping the series up on Tuesday night. And you know what I said? My reply was a very simple, let's put tomorrow first. That's how I approach the playoffs. I don't think about what's ahead. I think about what's going to happen in game three. That's all I'm thinking about. That's it. That's the only thing any fan should think about. So that's the way Derek Felix thinks. And, oh, Madison Miller continues to lay on that she's very confident, and I'm not going to respond to it because I don't want to say anything else. I can't be controlled. It takes a toll.
It does take a toll.
It takes a toll, man. Oh, man. Are you an Italian? Are you Italian by chance?
Partly, yeah.
I figured you had to be a little bit, you know? You know, with a name like Gianorio, it's got to be a little bit.
Yeah, my dad's father was Italian.
All right. And so let me ask you, because I'm staring at pictures here of some cannolis. Are you a fan of cannolis? Yes or no? Or were you?
Believe it or not, I've only had cannolis once.
Never, ever, forever. They're pretty good.
Yeah, I thought they were okay.
I don't have them too much, only on occasions, special occasions, but they're pretty solid. But I won't.
You
want to
know where I? You want to guess where I had the cannolis that one time?
Probably Little Italy.
No, think about what we were just discussing.
Italy?
No, Boston.
Oh, really? You went to Boston and had a cannoli from there?
I had a cannoli in Boston. That was the only time.
Ask what you were thinking. What were you thinking?
I went there, and one of my college friends was living in Boston at the time, and he insisted that we go get cannolis.
I think I remember this trip.
You probably do. It was in like 2009 or no, not 2009.
Yeah, this is
like
yeah,
2010
that's what I was
or
this was a while ago. Yeah, it's a while ago. I remember it. I remember it vividly. The cannoli, JPG. So, what was your impression? What was your take on your cannoli?
I thought it tasted good, but like you said, it's probably something I wouldn't eat unless it was like a special occasion.
Special occasion, yeah. Special occasion, yeah. That's
now that we're old
men,
Derek, we can't eat food like that often.
Yeah, I know, man. But we can have a juicy steak every once in a while.
Oh, steak.
I know, man. Are you a medium rare guy or a medium well? Or medium?
Oh, always medium rare. What about you?
Yeah. You know what? I like my steaks bloody.
Oh,
and
me
to
too,
quote,
man.
And to quote Ryan Reynolds, in Waiting, the hot pink in the middle. Don't we all? Don't we all want that in life? You know what the best part about that movie is? It was an old lady who said that. He's taking her order, and he says, "Don't we all want that in life?" I was just thinking myself.
Oh, man.
He played like the douchiest but funniest character in that movie. And now he's a big star. He's a big star. Married
You're
to Blake
a big
Lively.
Ryan Reynolds fan, right?
I like Ryan Reynolds. I mean, he's my age, man. He's a monster. A monster
right.
among men. Yeah. Yeah, he's a beast. He's a beast, man. The matchup for tomorrow is your favorite pitcher, Severino, or Luzervino, whatever you want to call him, versus Nathan Eovaldi, a guy that when he pitched against the Yankees after he was rented, they couldn't touch him. So there is a little bit of concern. There is some concern.
Where'd this guy come from?
Eovaldi used to be a Yankee. Don't you remember they traded for him from the Marlins? Then he blew out his arm or whatever, had to have the Tommy John, and the Yankees decided not to keep him. He saw it, and then he came back this year with Tampa Bay, pitched well for Tampa, and the Red Sox traded for him. He's got a good arm.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember.
Yeah,
that.
He's got a good arm. He has a good arm. And he pitched well for the Sox, especially against the Yanks. So we'll see. I'm curious to see how the Yankee hitters approach Eovaldi tomorrow. That's my key. And obviously, what they want to do is work the pitch count. If he likes to strike out guys, so like Severino did, he struck out 7 in that game 1 before he got tired. He got a little bit tired. All right, and the bullpen saved him. All right, if he tires, they could work the count and foul off some pitches and get a couple of runners on, maybe he'll get tired and maybe they could get him out of there in the 5th inning or 6th inning and get into that bullpen, which is not a great bullpen so by any imagination.
Sounds like a plan.
I mean, the Yankees do have the edge. They have the edge with the bullpen. So it'll be very interesting. And with Severino pitching, I'm sure the Red Sox are going to try to work the count. I'm sure Severino, he likes to strike out his guys, so I'm sure it's going to be a tough one. Although Severino, the last time he pitched the Red Sox, pitched him very well. So we'll see. I'd like to get 6 out of Severino. Or get him into the 6th inning. Let's get 5 innings and pitch into the 6th inning at least. That would be my goal for Severino. Because just the way he was striking out batters against Oakland, I mean, I could tell that it was going to be tough for him to have that length in that game because the pitch count was going up. There were a few walks. So even though he had his fastball back and he was throwing at 99, and I think it even topped out at 100, and he used his slider a lot. That was very surprising. He used that slider more than he used the fastball. Yeah, I want Severino to throw the fastball. I want him to work off the fastball. That would be my key to his performance tomorrow. So we shall see. And we'll see how he does. But this is a big game, as they all are, and especially when it's a deep division series. And I'm also curious to see, is Aaron Hicks, JPG, is he healthy enough to go back into the lineup? Because if he is, well, he's an upgrade over Brett Gardner. Well, Brett Gardner...
They were saying that he was ready to play in game 2, right? They just held him out as a precaution?
I think they held him out as a precaution. The one thing about Gardner, I know it was a down year for him. His defense never changes. Here he is. He ran down a line drive from Bogarts. Knew he had it all the way. He makes the catch with a runner on. And he still takes his walks and works the count. And as tough a year as it's been for Brett, Brett's been an excellent Yankee. So,
he put up a strong game in game 2, I thought.
He did. He did. I mean, he walked a couple of times. So one thing you know you're going to get with Brett, he will work his tail off, and he will play excellent defense, something that Andujar still struggles with, which is why they have the replacement, Hechavera, who has been replacing him in the 6th inning, basically. And and is playing. Well, he's really a shortstop, but he's playing third now. So I think when he comes in, and Neil Walker replaces the superhero known as Luke Voit, Luke Lewis Voit, who continues to put together good at bats. Like the triple that he had off the right field wall, which almost was caught. That was almost a great catch there by Piscotty. That was a hell of an effort there. And he's taking his walks, too. And he's like a, you know what he reminds me of, JPG? Comic book character. He has all this energy. And, like, when he legged out the triple, right, and he thought the ball was gone, like, then the big man started running and realized, I better run, you know? And he fucked it out pretty good. And then when he got to third, all the players were, like, smiling in the dugout. I don't know. There's something about this guy. He just brings something. I've been talking about this guy for a while. He brings something to the Yankees that he didn't have. I don't know what it is, but he just brings something to them.
It's crazy that they just kind of found him on the scrap heap, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they made the trade with the Cardinals, and it's been a dandy for them. It really has. He's become like a cult hero. I mean, the Luke chants will be out in full force tomorrow night, and it's definitely exciting. It's exciting. I mean, maybe this guy is a late bloomer. Maybe this guy is their first baseman. So it's very interesting. Very interesting the way things have turned out. And I'm very happy for Luke Voit. Luke Voit, who knew? Who knew, JPG? You just never know where you'll find a hero. Guy that just comes from nowhere. And it's bye-bye birdie right now in the Bronx. There were a couple of games today in the National League in the senior circuit. I just want to tip my hat. An absolute great performance by the Colorado Rockies. They really had their hitting shoes on against the Milwaukee Brewers. And I still can't name more than one Brewers starting pitcher. All I know is that they have Chassin. Oh, that's right. They rented Gio Gonzalez. Has he even pitched for them so far? Yeah. All right. So I know two Brewers starting pitchers. So,
Gio Gonzalez is on the Brewers?
He is. They traded for him. They got him from the Nationals or the Crationals, which is what Steve Sarvis calls them. So he's on the Brewers. He is. Oh, and he pitched well for the Brewers. So has he pitched yet? Gio Gonzalez has not pitched. Is he hurt? It's interesting. Very interesting. He pitched well for the Brewers. Maybe he got hurt. He went 3-0 for the Brewers with a 2.13 ERA in 5 starts. Yeah. What's the deal? Is he hurt or something? Maybe he's not pitching? I don't know. I don't manage that team. I don't really know what the deal is there. But that's interesting. That is very interesting. Okay, indeed. But the Brewers, they've won a division. They beat the Cubs to win that division and win that division. And then they swept the Rockies. How many runs did the Rockies score in this series? Like two? How many runs did they score? Ah, brother. I mean, it's pretty crazy, JPG.
It is.
The Brewers have an excellent lineup. I will say that. I mean, they really do. Especially with Christian Yelich just like so locked in. It's like you can't pitch to him. Nobody wants to pitch to him. You know, a guy is that locked in. He's not going to get pitched to. Because every time he comes up, he kills the ball. It's either a home run or it's a double, or it's crushed, or it's hit at somebody. If there's runners, if there's somebody on, they're going to pitch around them. They're going to walk them. I mean, that's what it's so. It's like pass the baton, and you've got Aguilar, who hadn't carried them for a stretch. You got Travis Shaw, who also has some power in his bat. Braun, even though he's not the same guy since he gave up his jujus, but he's still a good at bat. He's still a good hitter.
Man.
He's still a good at bat. Lorenzo Cain, who has more value with his defense, but has speed if he gets on base, and he's got that experience. Then you have Moustakas, who got that walk-off hit that basically finished the Rockies off. When the Rockies lost that first game, it was like the series ended. I don't know what happened to them after that, but the series basically was over. This is how crazy the Brewers are, right? They have Eric Thames, right? He used to be a starter, hit 30-something home runs last year. He's on the bench, basically. He doesn't even play.
I remember that guy.
Yeah. You have Jonathan Schoop. Jonathan Schoop was acquired from the Orioles to be their whatever, and he hardly plays because he's not hitting. So he's on the bench. You have Kian Broxton, who had a monster year last year, but has been hurt most of the year. Well, he came off the bench tonight, and he hit a home run in the ninth inning. After the shortstop, who can't hit, Arcia hit a home run, and he only had three home runs the whole year. So if you have those guys, Arcia, and then you have play a great center field because he's great defensively, coming off the bench and hitting home runs, maybe they have something going on. I don't know. They have something going on. So it's working out pretty good for them. So that's what I would say about the Brewers right now. But I look at this pitching staff, right? This is not intimidating. They're not intimidating. You know who pitched tonight's game? Who pitched today's game? It was Wade Miley. Yes, that Wade Miley. The Wade Miley who pitched for the Mariners, who pitched for the Arizona Diamondbacks, who pitched for the Orioles. Well, Wade Miley came back healthy, and Wade Miley has pitched good for them. Yeah, that Wade Miley. What the Brewers do have is they have a huge weapon at the end of games with Josh Hader. 143 strikeouts, JPG, and 81 in the third innings of 12 saves.
It's crazy.
This is the crazy part. They have Jeffress, and Jeffress blew the lead where he gave up the two runs, but then he kind of pitched out of it, and that was the turning point of the series. Because the Rockies probably should have scored more than two runs in the top of the ninth inning. And then Jeffress pitched out of it. But Jeffress is a strikeout pitcher, too. And he won eight games out of the bullpen and had 15 saves. You have Hader, who can pitch more than an inning. Pitch one and a third, one and two-thirds. And he's a matchup nightmare. Powering. You have Corey Knebel, who used to be their closer. Do have a lot of guys. They can mix and match a lot of guys. So, and you have Soria. They acquired Soria, and Soria's one of their key setup guys as well. Soria's got a lot of experience. So, this is why it works, because Council can mix and match guys, and I don't know. I mean, can they do that? This is my question. Let's say the Dodgers went, right? They lost tonight, 6-5, and that was a great job by Vizcaino to pitch out of that. He did a great job pitching out of that jam there, first and second jam, with the 3 second strikeouts, especially Muncy. And then Dozier to finish the game, pitched him perfectly. Now, the Dodgers have starting pitching, JPG. They don't have as strong a bullpen, but the Dodgers have better hitters. Here's my question. Can the Brewers beat the Dodgers in a best of seven series? Can they match up?
I think it's gonna be really hard for them.
Yeah. So do I. Maybe that's why I'm pulling for the Braves. I'd like to see the Braves. I want the Braves. I want Collins Braves. And it was nice to see them win, you know. Yeah, I don't know who's pitching the next game for them. So I know Freeman hit the big home run. Acuna had the grand slam, and the Empire called a ball four, which was he called it a strike on a ball four, and then he hit the grand slam off Walker Buehler, who did not have it tonight. He had a little bit of tough time there finding the plate because he only gave up two hits. So he only gave up two hits, but I mean, he must have been a little nervous, a little bit of pressure. Here's my question. Who's pitching war for the Dodgers? Is Kershaw being saved, for, I guess, for game five? Because I guess that's what they would do anyway. They're probably saving him. They got
yeah,
saving
I don't
him.
Think you. I don't think you bring him back for game four.
Nah, I don't think so either. So, I mean, I don't
He's
think they're going to be
good
doing
that. On this super short rest in the past.
Yeah, well, they can't do that anymore. He's 31, and, you know, the first game. Look, the first two games, the Braves couldn't hit. They couldn't hit.
Oh, the Braves are very lucky they won this game. I mean, that pitcher, he imploded in that first inning.
Well, yeah, Buehler settled down after that, right? He settled down like just five innings. Yeah,
like,
Buehler's
if he doesn't implode,
better.
they lose that game probably like five.
Yeah, Buehler's a better pitcher than how he pitched. I don't think the Braves want Anibal Sanchez to pitch another game in this series. He doesn't have to. They have Volta. I know he didn't pitch good in the first, but Volta in the West, but he's their ace. Has Sean Newcomb start this game for the Braves? I think Newcomb must have started this game. Are they bringing him out of the bullpen? What the hell are they doing? I'm looking at the page. So it's like, I'm trying to figure out what they did, what they're doing with their pitching staff. That's what I'm trying to figure out. So, let's see here. Now, what is the matchup and what time do they play? That's the question here. Oh, okay. So, Toussaint, or the French guy came out of the bullpen and got the win. I see. And this kind of pitched around those two walks. Those were good at bats, though, by both guys, by both Muncy and Turner. Those were excellent at bats. They did a good job there, just taking pitches and working the count. Now, what about the Indians? They're down 2-0.
I think they're done.
They look like they're finished. They look finished. I agree. Now, so far in this series, right, I just looked. This is a 1:30 game on Columbus Day. It is, they've only totaled 9 bases, struck out 24 times so far. You know what that sounds a lot like?
What?
Sounds a lot like the Yankees from 2017 last year against the Astros in Houston. I mean, like they had all sorts of problems with their pitching. And we know how great their pitching is. And Gerrit Cole pitched a great – I think he was even better than Verlander. He was even better than Verlander in his game yesterday. So, can the Indians get a little home cooking, maybe get back in the series? I mean, they certainly have. They have the lineup to do it. They're going up against Dallas Keuchel, the former Cy Young winner, a guy that can certainly be very dominant. He's not going to be overpowering. You know what he does better? He does great, Keuchel.
What?
Do you know what Dallas Keuchel does?
No, tell me.
He works both sides of the plate very well and hits the corners. That's the whole key to Dallas Keuchel. If Keuchel gets those calls, then it becomes very tough. it becomes very hard. It becomes dicey, JPJ. Very dicey.
It's crazy that he's their number three now. He won the Cy Young, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, but, I mean, Gerrit Cole had a better season. You have Verlander. So
yeah,
it's like, I mean, you know what's even crazier about this team? Other guy, right? The young guy with the big arm, McCullers. I mean,
oh,
he
yeah.
could pitch also, and he could come out of the bullpen like he did against the Yankees in that final game last year where he shut them down. I mean, so it's like they have such an advantage, you know? They have such an edge there. Who is pitching this game for Cleveland? Is Clevinger pitching? Oh, Clevinger. All right, so Mike Clevinger is getting the nod here. Clevinger is a good pitcher. He can strike out batters. He's like the Indians' third or fourth starter. They have a lot of good starters. It was kind of a bad break for them that Trevor Bauer can't start games. They have to come out of the bullpen. And he's definitely not the same guy because he gave up a home run in the game the other day that basically sealed it for the Astros, sealed that game too. Clevinger is a right-handed pitcher. The Astros have a predominantly right-handed hitting. That might be the way to go. But then again, Corey Kluber got knocked around in the first game. I guess what you're hoping, if you're Cleveland, that you got some home cooking. You're going to have the fans behind you. Get the fans behind, maybe Clevinger, get through the first inning, and then go to work against Keuchel. Get an early lead. That's what they're hoping for, that they can get some momentum. Get some momentum because they've got the home field now. So now it's the Astros. What the Astros did, JPG, is they held serve. They won their two games. Now, if you're the Indians, yes, it's an elimination game and you got to pull out all the stops, but what they have to do is take care of home field. It sounds a lot easier the way I'm saying it than it really is, but especially with them facing elimination. So it's hard. It's definitely harder than what I'm saying, but I'm trying to simplify it. I'm trying to be simple here. Like Dan Wheeler.
Dan's a simple man with a simple plan.
Yeah, I saw Dan Wheeler's Facebook status before, man. And, man, it was like, thank God we won that game today. We got lucky, man.
Oh, God.
Hey, I didn't respond to him because I was frustrated, obviously. There's nothing to say. What was I going to say? It's frustrating to lose a game that way. But, you know, but Dan knows. His team was lucky, man. Amazing finish to the Panthers game, man. My heart was pounding so hard, man. Oh, God. Dan the man. There's a sad face reaction. That probably is Colin. Colin's probably sad because his Falcons are terrible.
The tank is on.
Colin responded, hell, I cry. What is going on with Colin Kennedy? Colin Kennedy's hiding right now. You know he's lurking. He's lurking around. Waiting for the Braves to even this series against the Dodgers, against Nasus Dodgers. And then the war will finally be on, JPG. Can
the
Braves...
The war to settle the score.
The war to settle the score. This is not Derek Felix versus JPG. You know, it's not. This is a different kind of war being fought on a different battleground. It's not the Felixes versus Rob Craze Davis and Wassell when it comes to Rangers Devils and territory between New York and New Jersey. This is a different battleground. This is Atlanta. It's Georgia, baby, versus Hollywood. Fake tans and fake fans versus real fans. Even though they never crowd their ballpark up for some reason. I don't got anything.
You have everything. Come on, son.
Do I? Do I have everything under control? That is the question. That's the question right now. After Slam, Brace fan has to get a Kuna tattoo. By the way, and David Price did hint at this. He says he will be ready to come out of the bullpen for Monday's game. So, David Price going to come out of the bullpen? Do you think Yankee fans would be excited to see David Price in a game if he came in?
I would assume so after what happened today.
Well, you never know. I mean, Price actually has pitched better out of the bullpen when it comes to postseason. So that's the only thing I will illustrate because he has pitched a little better. He's had a little more success than he's had as a starter. obviously going two innings or whatever and being knocked out in the third inning, that's not a recipe for success. So what do you think happens to David Price when he pitches in October? Is he just turning into a pumpkin? What's happening?
Was he really that good this year?
He won 17 games, I think. He actually pitched good for them. But when
they won a lot of games, period.
No, you know what? It helps to have an offense. They have a great offense and everything. They have a great lineup. So it definitely helps. But, like, he pitched pretty well for them in the second half. But whenever he faces the Yankees, they have his number. They have his freaking number. He has a problem getting guys out in the Yankees. Now, I don't even want to think about David Price today. You know, what I'm thinking about is, this is how I view Severino. I always say the key to Severino is that first inning. First inning, set the tone, get through the first inning, clean. Pitch a clean first inning. That will get the crowd more into it. That way, you're not playing behind the eight ball. You're not behind the eight ball. And then go to work.
Yeah,
that's how I view it. When he pitched a great first inning against Oakland in that wild card matchup, I had a good feeling. Even though it was a little nerve wracking, got a little nerve wracking there when he loaded the bases in that fourth inning, as the pitch count was creeping up, and then he made that final batter swinging. That was the biggest pitch of the game in that one. And then the Yankees finally put it away. Betances for two innings, and they put it away and turned it into a much better, much easier result thanks to the comic book character known as Luke White, Luke Lewis White. So,
the superhero.
Yeah, he really does remind me of a superhero. He's just got that. He's a big guy. Well, that's number one. He's a big guy. And he just has that presence, you know? You could tell that these guys in that dugout, they love him. They love this guy. I mean, because he brings that energy. He's not – I'm going to use a Brian David reference right here, okay? He's not – Gregory Bird, not Greg Bird, who brings the low energy fill. Low energy fill.
That's right.
I mean, there's something about this guy. This guy, all right, he's listed at 6'3", 225 pounds. But when I look at him, he looks like he's about 6'5", and like 245 when I look at him. I don't know. There's something, you know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of Braun Strowman. He's just a monster. I don't know. He's got that intimidating presence. He's got that. I don't know. He's got something. Braun Strowman's a much bigger guy, though. So Braun Strowman goes 6'8". 6'8", man. Well, how much does he weigh? Oh, wow. He weighs close to 400 pounds, man. Wow. Imagine that. 6'8", 385, man. Holy friggin' crap.
That's crazy.
Dude, this guy is the same age as my brother, 35 years old. But if you watch Braun Strowman run around the ring, he's fast, man. He's a big guy, but he moves. He can move, man. He can move. Luke Voit can move, too. That's the one thing I noticed with Luke Voit. And Luke Voit will take some pitches. He'll take some walks. He'll lay off some pitches. That's something that impresses me. It impresses me that when I look at Luke Voit, so far in this series, against out of seven at the plate, and at bats with two RBIs, he's got three walks, JPG, and two strikeouts. That's impressive.
Wow.
The fact that he will take some pitches, he'll lay off that breaking pitch, he'll lay off the breaking pitch, he will take the walk. He'll take that. He'll take first. So, that is a very important thing when you look at Luke Voit. Luke Voit, when he came over to the Yankees, when he first came over, he struggled. And he looked like, you know, your typical guy that's just, he's just trying to swing for fences, da 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 da. But then he found something. He got his confidence. And he wound up with 14 home runs. And I think about 10 of them, 9 or 10 of them came in September. And he also had 15 walks to go with his .333 average. He struck out 39 times in 39 games, but he also walked 15 times. That's very good. That is very good. So, you know, I always try to weigh everything, JPG. I'm weighing everything. I mean, that's the most important thing when it comes down to it. You have to weigh everything. So did you watch any football yesterday? Did you watch anything? Were you locked in on baseball? You didn't watch any of the Flag Football League, the FFL?
Nope. What about you?
I watched the first half of the Giant game, and it was really frustrating. I watched part of the third quarter, and I was still frustrated. And then I went upstairs, and they started coming back. Kind of like what was going on with the Yankees in game two. In game one. Remember game one when they were down, and it was going berserk, and then they started coming. What happened was they got Sale out of the game. They got two runners on, two hits, took Sale out. I went upstairs to shave because I needed to get rid of my beard. And the radio was on in the background. We have the radio on, so we have a fan on and Sterling's on. I'm like, you know what? And I'm shaving, right? But I got the water off.
I'm listening to
each at bat, right? This is in the sixth inning. And I'm hearing what's going on, and I'm like, I'm making sure that I'm not missing them. I'm like, all right, they've got it down to 5-2. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm going, once I finish this, I'm going into my room and I'm going to listen to the rest of this game and see what happens. And they came pretty close. They came pretty close to coming back. Sometimes the radio is better. You know, it's better than, you know what it's better than listening to those network broadcasters. Jeez. Network TV sucks, JPG.
That I agree with completely.
I mean, it's just, I can't do it, man. I can't do it. Yeah, I try. But I'm like Eugene. I cry. It's hard.
Well, I've never actually heard you cry. I've heard him cry on multiple occasions.
Man, I gotta locate Eugene, see if I can find him on Facebook again.
Not hard to find, but his mom's gonna yell at you.
I'm probably blocked. Oh man, let's see here. You know, Alex Rodriguez called Nick Markakis Nick Markakis before on the post game show.
Oh God.
Oh, okay. I see. See, the Braves had both Newcomb and Gosman, and they used both of them in the same game. That's strange. Minter also pitched out of a little bit of a jam in that eighth inning. I saw that. Walker Buehler. Five innings, two hits, the five runs. I guess all five runs were what, in the first inning? Yeah. It must have been all in the second inning. Three walks, seven strikeouts. Thinking here. What's going to happen today? You have a prediction? Indians, Astros, Keuchel versus Clevinger. Who will win?
I think Astros win, Yankees win, and Dodgers close it out.
Okay. I believe that I'm gonna go Indians because I need the Wahoo Chiefs just to annoy the libtards. I think they'll win. I do think they'll win. I think they'll win. They'll get some home cooking. I think I don't know who's pitching for the Braves. Who the hell is pitching the next game for the Braves? Let's see. I'm trying to base it on what the matchup is. Who is pitching the next game versus Dodgers? Let's see. Who pitches the next game? Freddie Freeman go deep. Roar. Okay, you know what? They're giving the ball back to Fulton, who looks. I think he pitches better at home. All right, so he's pitching. So their ace is going in game four. Confirmed. All right. Who's going to pitch for the Dodge boys? Alex, did Alex Wood come out of the bullpen tonight?
He did, yeah.
I would have kept Alex Wood in their rotation, but I don't know. They moved a lot of guys. I think Ross Stripling, or Stripling, whatever the fuck his name is, also comes out of the bullpen. Yeah. Dodgers. Who is pitching for the Dodgers?
Rich Hill?
Rich Hill's a veteran guy. I mean, he's also a lefty. You know, I'm trying to think of any way for the Braves to force this fifth game and turn this into a war. How has Rich Hill pitched lately? That's a good question. How is Richard Hill doing these days? Is Rich Hill killing things? Killing our horses?
Yeah.
Is Rich Hill related to Turkey Hill?
I don't know. Rich Hill came up with the Cubs.
I remember. He also pitched for the Oakland Athletics. You know where he redeemed himself? With the Red Sox. The Red Sox gave him, like, an opportunity. And I think he went, like, went undefeated in, like, the last month and was striking out, like, more than a batter per inning. And after that, he was able to get back on track. And then the A's signed him. And then the A's signed him, and he pitched well for them, pitched really well for them. And then the Dodgers said, you know what? We like Rich Hill. We're going to trade for him. So, and ever since that time, JPG, Rich Hill, right, is over a strikeout per inning every year. Every year, he's over a strikeout per inning. This is a guy that was not always a starter. He was a starter for the Cubs once. And he pitched good for them the 1 year he started for you guys.
Always been good.
He had a lot of injuries. But, you know, Rich Hill, story. This is a good story. This is a guy that we got back on track, and I think the Braves could be in trouble. if that's true. I think they could be in trouble. Well, the lefties don't really bother Freddie Freeman or Nick Markakis, but still. It could be a tough game for Luke to win. I think it's going to be a tough game, JPG.
Yeah, I think it's going to be real tough.
You know who is not clutch?
Who?
I shouldn't say not clutch, but Pig. Pig had a bad at-bat in that game when I was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
He had a very bad at-bat. I think they potentially walked somebody. Lefty versus righty, and Minter pitched to Pig. And Pig did not come through there. Pig's a weird guy, huh?
I think,
you know,
he's
Fulton,
just not very good.
He should have been a 30 home run guy. He should have been. What are Fulton the Rook splits? He struck out 202 batters, you know. He's gonna probably be in the top 5 or 6 in the Cy Young voting. What the hell are splits? Let's take a look here. I know his first outing sucked. More pages. Let's look at splits 2018. I'm going to give you some splits here for this guy.
Give me some splits.
He was originally an Astros first round pick. It took him a while to develop. Okay. These are season totals, home or away splits. This is odd, JPG. He actually pitched better away this year than at home. 2.48 ERA away, 8-6, 15. 5-4 at home, 3.19, 96 innings, 66 hits. He did get up 10 home runs, 105 strikeouts, 38 walks. His splits are good. both sides. I'm taking the bridge. To hell with it. I'm gonna live dangerously, JPG. I'll take the Braves to win. And I'm not making a prediction on the Yankees Red Sox game because I don't want to say anything regarding it. After reading Madison Miller's tweets, let's just put it this way. I'm guardedly optimistic about it. Okay? That's all you need to know. Derek Felix is guardedly optimistic. Okay? That means that I'm basically, I'm guardedly confident about it. That's all. But guard it. Because I know anything can happen in these games. What's this? CNN reporter apologized for old tweets with gay slurs? Oh, let's read this. This looks interesting. I love stories like this.
Which reporter is it?
Yeah, I don't know. Of course, it took me to a Giants article about just not right. Oh, here it is. Okay. It's just a short little blurb. Her name is Caitlin Collins.
You there?
Whatever.
I'm here.
Derek?
I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Am I there? Teodoro? Did we lose you? I think we lost his ulls. JPG? Did we lose your ulls? Datmaster? Gianorio? And if he did lose you, I'm still not getting an indication here. Teodoro? Well, this reporter did apologize for old gay racial, whatever, gay slurs. I don't really know what to say. I think sometimes people just say things sometimes. She said, I don't know if I want a room with a lesbian. The reporter said, I want Paul. She used the word fag on another. Whatever. But everybody hates Josh Hader.
I couldn't hear you for the last like minute or so.
That's odd, but you could hear me now.
You cut out and then you just cut back in, yeah.
Let's see if we could fix this issue.
Did
any
you
better?
Mute your phone, maybe.
Derek? I don't think so.
Yeah, I can hear you fine now. It was just like you started talking and then all of a sudden it went dead.
All right, I'm back. I took my earpiece off, so now it must be clear.
Oh, it was no, I couldn't hear you at all. It was like your phone was muted for like a minute or so.
Unmute it.
Oh, boy.
Like Brian David.
Brian, don't call me. I'll call you Sanborn.
Caitlin Collins, roar.
You know, he called me today. He called me around, I want to say like 1 p.m., and I was taking a nap. And I tried calling him back like 30 minutes later. Nope.
Oh, God. And what happened?
No, it just, no, right to voicemail. Don't call
me,
I'll call you, baby.
Do you think Brian David intentionally does that?
I'm starting to wonder, man.
I linked up the CNN article.
Oh, I see it.
I don't think there's really anything wrong with what she said.
I gotta read it, hold on. She said she doesn't know if she wants to share a room with a lesbian, and she said the word fag. Wow.
Is that so bad?
Apparently she's now the new Hitler.
Oh, I found an even better article here. A reporter, right, was fired for wearing a Make America Great Again hat while covering Trump rally.
Oh, jeez.
They tell his reporter in southern Minnesota might need a new hat saying make me a point again. James Bunner, a multimedia journalist for NBC affiliate KTTC-TV in Boston, was fired Friday for apparently wearing the hat. As the rally got underway, images of Bunner wearing the bright red hat began appearing on Twitter. Ah, of course. And that triggered everybody.
So he was fired for wearing a hat?
Yes. Apparently.
It has the campaign slogan of our president on it.
Yes. Noelle Cederstrom, the news director, told the Star Tribune of the Minneapolis that the station's policy does not allow staff members to wear apparel from political campaigns while covering stories. Okay. Bunner had uploaded a video of himself appearing to celebrate while dancing in a newsroom on Trump's inauguration day, but that was okay. Me watching the Trump inauguration, so now he gets fired for wearing a hat.
Wow.
Going to hell.
Yeah, these people are totally normal and not psychos, though.
They really are normal, aren't they?
Oh, so normal. Isn't it normal to get somebody fired for wearing a hat, Derek? Like, could you think of anything more normal?
I think it's the most normal thing I've ever heard.
Oh, so normal. Just totally, totally normal.
I linked it up, baby.
Hold on, let me take a look.
I think I might share this one on Facebook just to trigger people.
JPEG's going to start a holy war against you.
Well, me and JPEG aren't friends on Facebook.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's for the best. Wow,
what kind of society do we live in, man?
A bad one, because they've made it bad.
What the hell is this? James Dolan gets a 20% raise from MSG. What? I mean,
himself the raise.
Well, I don't know why that would even be news. Let's see here. Let's see what this says here. All right, so he'll bring home roughly $9.3 million in total compensation over the next year, including sales and other payout up 20% from his previous contract. Oh, I see. Their shares. Even though the Knicks and Rangers suck, their share spike went up 46% over the past year. He will make 63% more than Kristaps Porzingis this year, JPG. How do you feel about that?
Well, Dolan does all the hard work, baby. Him and his band. Jimmy D and the Straight Shooters, right?
Yeah. The Straight Shot.
Straight shot. Man,
yeah,
I'm James Dolan, man.
Dolan.
I don't that didn't make sense. Come on, James Dolan.
Man,
James Dolan, man.
That's a lot of interesting.
So nice.
What?
What were you saying?
There's a lot of interesting articles here in the New York Post.
Yeah, I saw that Mattress Firm is shutting down 700 locations.
They are? Why?
Yeah. I guess they're having trouble selling mattresses for our uses.
Maybe I should buy a mattress. That'd be nice.
You're supposed to replace them every 10 years, apparently.
Aaron Hicks is peeing like crazy to make it back to Yankees. Did you hear that?
Wow.
He's peeing like crazy.
Sounds disgusting.
Yeah, maybe he's hanging out with Jorge Posada.
Maybe. Peeing on those hands? Moises Alou used to do it, too.
Yeah, that's right. It's a Latin America thing, baby.
Ooh. We should ask Eugene how he feels about people peeing on their hands.
Yeah, there is one thing that I haven't talked about.
Talk about it.
I haven't talked about the Conor McGregor shish kebab chaos that ensued with the UFC yesterday.
So I didn't see this. So explain what happened.
Explain what happened?
Yeah.
Conor McGregor faced this champion, this undefeated champion, Khabib Nurmagomedov. And the Khabib guy jumped out of the octagon and started and went into the stands and started to fight. And it caused a riot at T-Mobile Arena, right at your area, right here that kind of was.
Yeah, right on the strip, right down the street.
Total chaotic situation. And then
who is he fighting? Who did he jump in the crowd to fight?
Probably fighting some McGregor fans. Oh my God. And then somebody climbed over the cage because the security really does their job. Climbed over the cage and started and went after McGregor. McGregor punched him. Defended himself. Oh man. The UFC is a joke, man. It's like I think it might be worse than wrestling.
It's like wrestling with worse in-ring action.
Like, who would pay $100 to see such an event? Like,
it's terrible,
Derek.
I've tried watching it. It's so terrible to watch.
I've watched it times, and I'm like, oh, this is okay. Then it's grinding and grueling, and I keep wondering, well, how could these guys even last the three rounds? Because they're 4 minutes in length. But it's like, these are all thugs. Most of these people are thugs that would be locked up if they weren't doing this. And you know what? Shish kebab proved, shish kebab or shish kebab proved that he should be in jail. Kind of like Conor McGregor when he had his implosion in Brooklyn last year.
You're absolutely right, dude. Like, these people should be in jail.
I mean, really. No excuse.
Yeah, I can't stand it, Derek. I've tried watching it. I feel like, you know how they do star ratings for wrestling matches?
Yeah.
Every single UFC fight that I've ever seen, if that happened in, like, a wrestling ring, it would have gotten, like 1 star or, like, half a star.
Yeah,
they're unwatchable. Yeah. They're totally unwatchable.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is, man. I don't understand it myself. Maybe I'm not supposed to understand it.
Well, I have a friend that was like a pretty good amateur wrestler, and he likes watching it. That I can understand. But unless, like, for casual fans like us, I don't see the appeal. I really don't.
I don't see the appeal either. I mean, I'm a boxing guy. Boxing to me is much better than this crap.
I watched the McGregor Mayweather fight, and I thought it was much more watchable than any UFC thing I've ever seen.
Of course, it was much more watchable because it's not chaotic. Even though,
yeah, it's just chaos.
The much
UFC
better
is just chaos.
Well, people like chaos. They need their chaos in all different forms.
Well, I know how you feel about chaos. So
that kind of chaos to me doesn't appeal to me. No appeal.
Yeah, you like controlled chaos.
I like chaos to a certain point. But
right.
when it gets to this point, What's the point? What's the
deal? Then it's like no more chaos. What's the point of this much chaos?
Exactly.
Exactly. Like our show on Blog Talk Radio. Man.
Man, Daniel.
Hillary Clinton is still finding ways to denigrate democracy. It's pretty interesting. Oh, it's written by the guy that I like to read.
Oh, have you heard the latest liberal talking point?
No, I have not. Oh, wait, I know the latest liberal talking point. That now, Brett Kavanaugh should not be Supreme Court judge because he has a temper problem or something.
Oh no, they've already that is a talking point, but they've already moved on to a new one.
What's the new one? I want the new one.
So their new idea is that they're going to appoint a bunch more Supreme Court justices as soon as they get control.
Yeah, I've heard about this. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You know what?
These people are nuts, and they're not even hiding it anymore.
Well, maybe they should go hang out with some fake celebrity losers, get drunk and party and, you know, slip some pills, drink some pills, and, you know, pass out.
Yeah, that's probably better than what they are doing.
It's a good idea, isn't it? Everybody
does it. Yeah.
Yeah. What the hell?
Are these fucking celebrities giving their opinion?
Yeah, I know. They have to all give their opinion.
Oh, and it's always the same opinion.
It is. It's always the same opinion.
I mean, because these are such geniuses.
Yeah. Well, let them be angry and let them cry. They could have their cries.
Yeah, let them cry. Let the tears flow. Come on, D-Flex.
Yeah.
I know, man.
We should all feel such terrible things. The tragedy. If I have to see another woman say, what a terrible day for our country. Well, I didn't realize that you were an investigator. I didn't realize that you had the proof. You have the definitive proof. Were you there in 1980? I mean, or 1982, whatever it is. I mean...
Well, the year keeps changing, Derek, so who knows what year it actually was.
So wait, I mean, gee, how do you feel about Ronaldo? How do you feel about Ronaldo's accuser? Do you have anything to say about that?
Who?
Oh, wait, no, I love Ronaldo. No. I would have
soccer.
War.
Oh,
I mean, really. I mean, how do you feel about that? No comment. It's not being covered. It's hidden because it's Ronaldo, an international millionaire star. A guy who I used to like I couldn't even finish the article because it was just too gruesome. It was too gruesome
to read. That was
pretty bad. And I was just like, all right, this happened. It's just like, okay.
Yeah.
It's like, this is not good. This is not good. Roar. Oh, man. Well, at least they have that idiot, Cory Booker, whatever. What do they call him again? He's such an idiot.
Spartacus.
Oh, God. That's pretty funny.
He called himself Spartacus.
Why would he want to call himself that? It's so stupid. It sounds stupid. It sounds very stupid. I don't understand. I don't understand a lot of things, man. Do you think
you're not alone.
Do you think these people, like, watch Tire Learning? You know, it's been being repeated a lot.
Yeah, good question.
Omar Epps and, and that actor, Lawrence Fishburne, who plays that professor and talks very weird. Mr. Williams.
Oh,
that's
God.
That's the same guy who played the dad in Boys in the Hood. And it was in, what the hell is it? It was in those movies with Keanu Reeves.
Oh, my God.
And then you have him with that phony accent.
Yeah, God, I love that phony accent.
Oh, that phony accent's great. And you will not get a better grade because of your skin color, or because you are African American, or because you did not get enough sleep last night. Oh, man. Maybe we should show that movie to all these idiots. Oh, that's
right. They couldn't hurt.
That's right. They would see that other idiot that I used to like. They'd see that other idiot that I used to like becoming part of the Nazi gang and shaving his head. Michael Rappaport.
Oh, yeah.
This could be you. This is America now. Roar. This is Trump's America. I mean, it's just like, yeah, this is exactly how things are. You know, I see it all the time on streets. Gee, I want where are these things happening? I haven't seen anything. Oh, Hillary Clinton. I would like to
what
thank
a
everyone
lady.
Watching tonight that I'm reaching out to all Americans, Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, because we need everybody to help make our country what it should be. And 2 years later, she has a huge responsibility as part of the disaster. Still hasn't acknowledged the election. She still hasn't acknowledged November 8th, 2016. It's been erased. It's been erased from her memory bank. Much like all those
never
emails.
Never, ever.
Much like all those emails were almost erased. Oh, brother. Oh, man. Never, ever.
Never, ever, forever.
Democrats. The Democrats. They are Democrats now. That's what I call them. I got nothing
else to
add.
That's what they are.
They're Democrats. Dummies. Make America great. How about we increase the European and Canadian hate? I like that one better. That's my new slogan campaign.
I like it.
Yeah, I know. It's laid back and snappy, baby.
Oh, that's how I like things, baby.
That's the way I like it. Uh-huh. You know, they
cool
used to
the
play
gang.
that song every time the Rangers scored in the old days.
Oh, God. Now they play
yeah.
the Dancing Larry song.
Yeah, I wonder if Dancing Larry will jump off the building if they continue to lose games. Will he jump off the bridge?
I think as long as he gets his attention, he's happy.
Larry Goldman is his name, I think. I think that's his name. I thought it was. It's not. It's actually somebody else. What is his actual name? What is this clown's name again? This guy makes appearances everywhere. He's the
I saw him in a commercial back in the day.
Yeah, Harry thinks he's the greatest person on earth. I don't understand. How come he's not hosting any more Garden events? How come he's not hosting any more Ranger parties? Is that because the team sucks? He used to have these
yeah,
parties.
Good question.
Dancing Larry
kind of parties?
A staple. You know, they host these. He would come out and host these like events for fans to come out and watch the game. That is not my thing. That is not my thing. I will never do that. Like if I watch something, I'll watch it at a bar, and it won't be because he's making a stupid appearance because he's so cool. This is what it's like to be a Ranger fan. Now, they turned him into a superstar. Some blog even interviewed him 4 years ago. Oh, my God.
Really? How did
Dancing
that go?
Dancing Larry, you're the...
Oh, God.
He did his first dance in 1996. This proves that Harry was wrong. Harry insisted, right, that this guy was dancing since 94. He did his first dance in 96. Well, why do you think the New York Rangers have not had any luck lately?
Oh, it's all Larry.
He's a jinx, man. Do you know how many times
he is?
They'll show him in the third period when the Rangers are up a goal. In the third period, he'll dance at the 8-minute mark or 9-minute mark, and then what happens? The team blows the game. They fall the lead.
Jinx.
We think he's a jinx. We do think
he is.
Jinx.
He is a jinx.
Oh, brother, I just don't, what is the fascination with this guy? I mean, brother, I ought to send Harry a text.
Do it.
Oh, my God. I got even worse news. Oh, Rob will like this, though. Larry grew up in Clifton, New Jersey.
Oh, jeez.
You know what? I've got to send this to Rob. Retirement Rob. He's been hiding. He's too much of a psychopath. Rob Davis. Retirement Rob. Have you heard from Rob Davis lately?
Only in the group text, like you.
Retirement Rob. I can't reply to any conversations from Rob anymore. He's blocked.
Why?
Me.
Oh,
because he blocked me. Yeah, maybe I should make another Facebook name and mark him and just haunt him. I'll call myself, I'm trying to think here. What would be a good nickname for me? What's something that could haunt the devil? Angel's Wrath. What do you think of that?
Great.
Angel's Wrath. Think that would work?
I think
you know
would.
I'm going to get to work on this. I'm going to create another Facebook account and call myself Angel's Wrath.
Oh,
geez.
What do you think?
That would be a pretty good move, wouldn't it?
I think it would be a great career move.
Yeah, Angel's Wrath. Retirement Rob. I am here to keep you in check. Angel's Wrath. Like God's gift.
The legend.
Sam Darnold had a good game today. Oh, thick. Let's put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Induct him now. Roar. Induct his wolves. You know, it's funny. Bill Cosby says that he shouldn't be in jail because he's blind.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Taylor Swift has endorsed a Democratic politician. War.
Oh, God.
If I cared what she thought about politics, I would ask her to strip. That's about it. And sing something for me. Sing something that's not
yep.
one of your pop hits. Sing something different. Instead of selling out and not being a country singer anymore. Roar. That's my opinion. It's final, baby.
Well, with that note, son, I think I got to let you go. All right, oof,
yeah, it's this. Time for this show. It's time for this show to end, mercifully. All right, Mom. This
good talking to
death.
You, as always.
All right, and death is hit, folks. Thank you to JPG, and thank you to myself
for some stupid reason or another. Thank you for listening to this show. And please listen to future shows because they could be good. They could be good. There could be a lot of depth. All right, this is, for JPG, this is Derek Felix getting ready to sign off. We hope you enjoyed our little show, and we will be seeing you very soon. Enjoy the Columbus Day. Enjoy the parade. Enjoy the liberal tears, and enjoy the baseball games. Have a good, good Columbus Day, folks. Good night.